Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Hallelujah. Well, at least I got one excited one right here in the front row. Yeah, praise God. Yes, you are. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, I humbly stand before you tonight. And I thank you for your help, your presence, utterance, and the Holy Ghost. Help me to say what you want me to say tonight. And you do what you want to do tonight. Have your way. Because without you, we cannot do it. But we're thankful that we have you. And we welcome the mighty Holy Spirit in this place tonight. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. You're so good to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we didn't meet last week, but praise the Lord. So we're going to do a little quick review here. And just remind everybody the week before. So this is actually the third one on heavenly interference. We're on the third night, Wednesday night. And had a little shortcut there last week with some weather, but praise the Lord, we're back together tonight. So when I had left off the week before, I started out by sharing with you all that I want to stir you up to be dissatisfied with being satisfied. Because we're in the last of the last days. And God has picked you to be here right now for this day, this hour, this time, for such a time as this. So that's important, is to know the time that we're living in and why we are here for such a time as this. And when you know and understand what God wants to do, and that's by getting in his word and finding out what he wants to do and then reminding him of his word that this is what you want to do and we're reminding you of it. And that gives God what? A legal invitation, a legal access to come in the earth and do what he already wants to do, but he's waiting for somebody to what? Ask him. Because there's only two beings on this earth that have a legal right here. That's the devil and his cohorts, and that's for a season. And his time will be running out quickly. And then there's the humanity, mankind, human beings. We also have a legal right here on the earth. And when we're born again, we have been given complete authority over the enemy. And we exercise our authority through our rights and privileges in Christ, knowing who we are, what we have, and what we can do in Christ. Those three things are vitally important to the life of the believer. So I said I want to stir you up to get dissatisfied with being satisfied, because sometimes the church settles in a complacency and you forget about what great things that the Lord has done. And so we went to the book of Habakkuk. Let's go there. Let's turn back to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3, and I want to read it from the Message translation, because it goes back to a prayer. You know, God, in this hour and this time that we're living in, he really wants to manifest his glory, his presence, and his power like never before. I remember something Brother Hagin said, and he's one of the generals in the faith, that he was our spiritual father when he was here, but he's going on to heaven now, that he said that in the last of the last days, the gifts of the Spirit are going to be very vital to the body of Christ, the believers. And he said, especially the power gifts. Now, you know, but there's 9 gifts of the Spirit, and the gifts of the Spirit are separated in 3 categories just to help you understand them. You know, you got the utterance gifts, the gifts that say something. That's gift of prophecy, gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Then you have the revelation gifts, the gifts that reveal something, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. Then you have the power gifts, the gifts that do something. Working of miracles, gift of special faith, and the gifts of healings. Hallelujah. So he was saying in the last of the last days, and I can just tell the condition that the world is in, the church needs to be at its best. The world is at its worst, but the church needs to be at its best. And you and I today are the divine expression of the will of God in the earth today. You and I, as the body of Christ, we are his living, breathing, walking, talking, pulsating body of Jesus Christ on the earth that somebody will get to see. Hallelujah. And so the world at its worst needs the church at its best, knowing who we are, what we're here for, and what we're to do until Jesus comes and takes us out of here. Hallelujah. So I'm stirring you up to get dissatisfied with being satisfied, because Habakkuk, in one of his prayers here in chapter 3, and in the Message translation, it says, Lord, he said, I've heard what our ancestors say about you. Well, let's stop right there. We know some things that our generals in the faith have said about him. Come on now, some of the generals are still right here with us on the earth today. And there's a lot of generals that have departed and gone on to heaven today. But he says, Lord, I've heard about some of the things that they've shared. And he says, I'm going to read the whole thing, then we're going to go back and break it up. He says, and I'm stopped in my tracks. It got his attention about what he was hearing from the ancestors about what they were saying about God. It got his attention. He says, I'm stopped in my tracks. What were they doing? They were talking about the great signs, wonders, and miracles that Jesus performed, that God performed for them. He heard about this. It stopped him in his tracks. He heard about what they did. And then he says, I'm down on my knees. Woo, glory. So he gets so excited about the things that he heard that his forefathers have said or the ancestors have said. He gets so excited that now it's getting him to his knees. Why? Because he says, I want you to do among us what you did among them. I want you to work among us what you worked among them. In other words, don't stop doing it. We're a people that want these things also. And today, you and I, as the church, we should want these things also. And then I began to share some of the things. Going back now where it says, Lord, I've heard what our ancestors have said about you, or our forefathers have said about you. I've heard. And I began to share some of the things, like Smith Wigglesworth, who had a ministry. He was an apostle of faith. And boy, the Lord used him mightily. He had over 23 people raised from the dead. And he was a man of the word first, and he was a man of the spirit second. You could not catch him out and about anywhere without finding his Bible on him. In fact, he would challenge the young people, if you ever find me without my Bible, he would reward them. But he said, you can never find me without my Bible. Never. He always had a pocket Bible somewhere on him all the time, wherever he was. And when people would come to his home, they'd knock on the door like Lester Sumrall, and he'd go knocking at his door and had a newspaper under his arm. And Smith Wigglesworth said, you're not coming in my house with no newspaper. He said, drop it, leave it. He said, the only book that's in this house is the Bible. And he wasn't being mean. He was just telling him that's what he believed, that's what he lived for, that's what he gave his life for, the Word of God. And so he loved the Word of God. But I was sharing how some of the things that the Spirit of God loved to rest upon this man. It was so prominent and so imminent and so powerful that wherever this man went, whether it was on a bus, in a train station, or in a place, it said the people, if there were sinners there, they would fall to their knees and cry out to God for mercy, asking God to forgive them of their sins, and nobody had even said anything to them. The Spirit of God was on this man so powerfully. This is just one man. And he would walk into places. People would immediately come under conviction. And then I shared last week about the man that came to him who had the peg legs with no feet. And Smith Wigglesworth told him, go to the shoe store and buy yourself a set of shoes. Right. So he goes. He acts on the man's word. Come on now. He goes to the shoe store, and the man asks him what size shoes, and he's like, give me an 8. And anyway, they bring him out a set of shoes, and it says the moment that he put his peg leg in the shoe, a leg formed and a foot grew out. Same thing. He put it in the next shoe. A leg grew out and a foot grew out. Leg and foot. It wasn't there before. It was nothing but wood. Now he's got a leg and a foot. Come on now. Creative miracles he was known for. He even raised his wife Polly from the dead.
Right. Amen.
People in the hospital. He went to visit a woman. She died right there in the hospital. He pulls her out of the bed, holds her up against the wall, and he commands her to live in Jesus' name. All of a sudden, her body begins to shake and tremble. And she comes alive right there in front of everybody.
Yeah.
The power of God. Lord, I've heard about what our ancestors say. It has stopped me in my tracks. Another one I shared about with Maria Woodworth Etter. She was known as a woman that went into trances. Is that biblical, Pastor Debbie? Yes, all in the book of Acts. You see, Peter goes up on the rooftop. He goes into a trance. It is biblical. She would go into a trance for 3 days. People would travel from all over the world to just come to see her where she was stopped in her tracks, where she stopped in her preaching, and would just stay there as a statue. 3 days, all of her bodily functions were suspended under the power of God. And then she'd come out of the trance and continue preaching where she left off. After 3 days, we're talking about these got his attention. It should get our attention that we get dissatisfied with being satisfied and start desiring and asking and wanting these things to take place, wanting God to manifest, wanting God to show up and show off. Hallelujah. I shared about Charles Finney, and he was a great revivalist known in history, also going on to heaven too. But he was known as a great fired up revivalist wherever he went. He was also another man of prayer. Every one of these that I've talked about so far, men of prayer. I'm telling you, you know when God begins to move in a particular church or a particular region, when he begins to deal with the men, and the men can't stay away from prayer. They want to gather. They want to pray. They want to see the move of God in their families, in their households, in their communities, neighborhoods, in their regions. Come on now. When the men get stirred up, God begins to deal with the men's hearts, and they begin to cry out to God for their families, and bless God, they're not satisfied with what they're seeing. They want more. They desire to see these things manifested before Jesus comes back. But when you see God begin to deal with the men, something about that, Nothing wrong with the women. Women, hallelujah, thank God for you being women of prayer. But I'm just saying, when God begins to move and you see the men want to get out to prayer, something is happening. Yeah. But Charles Finney, another man that the Spirit of God loved to rest upon, he'd walk into factories, the whole factories would shut down. The presence of God would fill the factory, that all of a sudden the workers would start weeping uncontrollably. Even it says in some of the instances that the owners of the factories would shut the factories down. They recognized it was a spiritual moment, something God was doing in that factory with his employees. So they would shut it down. Charles Finney would preach. They would get born again, whole factories saved, born again. Because of one man walking into a place, and the power and the presence of God was so strong. And we're thinking, we can't even sit in the service without a piece of gum in our mouth. Come on. Come on, people. We got to get over ourselves. We got to get past ourselves and start thinking about past ourselves, about the people out there in the world. God put the gifts of the Spirit in the church to take it out there into the world. Think it not strange if you start, oh my God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is all over this. When you go out in the world and all of a sudden you feel like a cloak has just come upon you, and you have a gift of faith, and you know that you know ahead of time what God is going to do, and you step out and you begin to move and do and say what he wants you to do, and all of a sudden a miracle takes place right before your eyes because you were obedient. You obeyed right away. You didn't let, it's that gift of special faith. It bypasses the mind. You don't even have time to think about it. You just know this is what God wants to do. That's just a strong knowing, a strong, oh my God, he's going to do this. I know. And you're part of that. Are we ready for this? The glory that is yet to be revealed. The power that he wants to flow through us. His presence that he wants to manifest. It's one thing about God being the omnipresent one. He's with us all the time. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's his omnipresence. But we're talking about where he says in John 14:21, where he says, I will come and manifest myself to you. That's a tangible presence he's talking about. Tangible manifestation. We cannot, I just love this. We cannot do without the presence what we can only do with his presence. I'm going to say that again. We cannot do, and I'm talking about the manifested presence, the tangible presence. We cannot do without his presence what we can only do with his presence. That tangible, manifested presence. And wherever Charles Finney went, there bars would shut down, nightclubs, movie theaters. Why? Because they heard that this man was in town. Everybody didn't want to be. They wanted to be where he was, to be in his meetings, to encounter God, to experience God. They were so hungry for this. There was a heart hunger. I shared what Brother Hagin said. I'm still on the first part of it where it says, Lord, I've heard what your ancestors, what our ancestors say. I've stopped in my tracks here. I talked about John G. Lake, an apostle of faith, South Africa. He had the revelation of God in man. God in man. He had this revelation. He said the lightnings of God would flash through the souls of men and drive out sickness and disease and demons and devils. This man was alive when there was a bubonic plague that broke out. And he was helping the medical field by going into the homes and helping remove the dead bodies. And the medical field noticed what he was doing, and they stopped him. They said, "What are you using for your protection? Because this is a deadly plague. It will kill you." He said, "Oh, it's simple." He said, "I know as long as I have a living, breathing, vibrant relationship with the God of the eternities and his life is flowing in me and through me, no disease will ever be able to touch or attach itself to me." And he said, to prove that, he said, "Take some of the foam that's coming out of the dead body's mouths. Put it in my hands." He said, "First, put it under a microscope and look at it." And they did, and they looked at the foam, and it was live. All the stuff in it was alive. And then they took that foam, and they put it on his hand. And they put it under the microscope, and they looked, and immediately the germs died the moment it touched his hand. Why? He had that revelation of the life of God that he knew was, my God, help us get the revelation in this day and hour. The life of God, the moment we get born again. The life of God. We receive the life of God on the inside. We receive the life of God. We have his life in us. The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, Romans 8:11. The same Spirit. He's the life-giving Spirit. He's the life-giving, quickening Holy Spirit. He lives in you and I. He's come to live in us. To dwell in us. He quickens our mortal bodies. He quickens every cell, every bone, every tissue, every fiber, every organ of our bodies with the life-giving power of God himself. Said, "Lord, I've heard about what our ancestors say about you. I'm stopped in my tracks. I'm down on my knees." So it caused him to go to the Lord in prayer and begin to ask God. You know, John Wesley made this statement. He says, "It seems that God is limited by our prayer life, that he can do nothing for humanity unless someone asks him." He can do nothing for humanity unless somebody asks him. "Well, you know, Pastor Debbie, God is sovereign. He's going to do whatever he wants to do." No, He's bound by his word. Right. Amen. He does not do anything outside of his word. And it's up to us to what? Find out what his word says. Bring that word up before him and remind him of that word. Ask him to do what he already wants to do. He's just waiting for that legal invitation and legal access to come in this earth and do it. Amen. Because some people desire it and want it. Because we're getting dissatisfied with being satisfied. We want to see this world changed. I want to see a great harvest before we get raptured out of here. There's a lot of people that I'm believing God for. Hallelujah. And I know you are. So he says, I'm down on my knees. He began asking. He said, "Lord, do among us what you did among them. Work among us what you worked among them." We're the church today. And the glory and the power and the presence that God wants to manifest is going to come through a church that's expecting it, ready for it, and available for it. He's not looking for ability. How many doctorates you got? Come on now. You might have a list this long of how many, and I'm not putting that down by no means. No, don't misunderstand me. Thank God for education. But he's looking for availability. those who are willing to make themselves available in these last days, whenever, to do whatever. What, Pastor Debbie? I don't know if I got time. Well, that's the problem right there. If you ain't got time for it, he ain't gonna bother you, I can tell you. He's looking for those every single day. He say, Lord, here I am. My feet have touched the floor. I am not my own. I belong to you. You use me for your glory, however you choose today. Lord, it's like Smith Wigglesworth said. He would get home sometimes at night and he'd say, Lord, not one person has come across my path to get saved today. I got to go back out there. Lord, bring somebody across my path. He'd walk back out the door in faith, and sure enough, God would bring somebody back across his path that he could lead to the Lord before he went and jumped in his bed. That's pretty good. Yeah. And we think we got it bad sometimes. No. Yeah. So let's look at the early church. Why, the early church, they were birthed in prayer because they all went into the upper room. And they stayed there until what? The Holy Ghost fell. 120 of them. Started out being 500, but there were 120 that were really serious about the things of God and wanted it. What Jesus said to tarry and wait for, they were determined to do that until the Holy Ghost showed up manifested. Sure enough, he showed up manifested. He said, on the day of Pentecost, suddenly there was a sound from heaven. Glory to God. Still sounds coming out of heaven to this very day that are making a difference. Hallelujah. He said, what? Yeah, so he showed up, just like they said. So they had the early church, they were birthed in prayer. They had set times of prayer, because here's Peter and John. They're going to the temple and the time of prayer, Acts chapter 3. They're going to pray, and what happens? Lo and behold, there's a crippled man that's been crippled from birth, who's never walked a day in his life. Peter. He begins to what? He says, look here. He says, look here on us. The men think they're going to get some, this man thinks he's going to get some kind of handout, free handout. Peter goes, no, silver and gold I have none. But such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Woo, glory. I'm telling you, we're going to be seeing some rise up and walks in the name of Jesus. And that crippled man, what did he do? He rose up and he walked immediately. No question. And so Peter begins to preach right there, because a big crowd gathers and here's this crippled man. They begin to try to get Peter and John, put them in prison, but they get back out and they're released, and he's telling all the people around. And the church, they were birthed in prayer. They had set times of prayer. They persevered in prayer. But let's look at Acts. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Thank you, Jesus. In Acts chapter 4 here, they prayed something. In Acts chapter 4, verse 29, we'll start right there. The early church, when they began to get persecuted, Peter and John using the name of Jesus. This crippled man gets up, begins to walk. Everybody's looking around. This man, he's in his 40s. Come on now. So they begin to pray. Verse 29, they said, now, Lord, observe their threats. Grant to your bondservants full freedom to declare your message fearlessly. Woo, glory. So they're asking for more boldness right in a time of great persecution, when they're told to shut up and never speak the name of Jesus ever again. And all of a sudden they're asking for more boldness. Lord, give us more boldness, bless God, so we can even speak it louder and greater for such a time as this. And then they said, verse 30, and while you stretch out your hands to heal, your hands to cure and perform signs, wonders, there's the miracles, through the authority and by the power of the name of your holy child and servant Jesus. The early church prayed for signs, wonders, and miracles. Praise the Lord. In verse 31, it says, and when they had prayed, they were so serious about it. They were in one accord about this. They were all desiring it, all wanting this at the same time, releasing their faith about this one question that they asked God for. Give us more boldness, Lord. But when we get that more boldness, you work signs and wonders among us, just like you did. You work signs, wonders among us through the name of Jesus. And sure enough, bless God, we see verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were assembled was shaken. What, Pastor Debbie, you mean the building literally shook? The building literally shook because of the power that was released in their praying. Woo, glory to God. I don't know about you, but that's some power. I ain't been in a building yet that shook, but I ain't putting none of that down. God wants to shake some buildings. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's exactly right. So when they had prayed, the place in which they were assembled, I'm reading from the Amplified, verse 31, was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit again. They were refilled. So it's nothing wrong with getting filled and filled and refilled with the Holy Ghost again and again. First is an initial infilling with the proof of the evidence that you receive a language that's not known to your natural mind. But once you get filled and you receive that prayer language, you can be refilled and ask God for more refillings. That's not being selfish. That's not being wrong. No, He wants you to ask for more refillings. Yeah, praise God. And so we see here, that was their prayer in chapter 4, but chapter 5, we see the results. Here comes the answer in chapter 5 from the prayer that they prayed in chapter 4. Chapter 5, let's look at verse, we're going to start with 12 through 14. Let's look at verse 12. It says, now by the hands of the apostles, special messengers, numerous and startling signs and wonders were being performed among the people. And by common consent, they all met together at the temple in the covered porch walk called Solomon's. What? By the hands of the apostles. Here comes the answer to the prayer they just prayed in chapter 4. Asking God for more boldness and for Him to stretch out His hands to heal, signs, wonders, and miracles would be performed. And here we go. The hands of the apostles. So God begins to move through what? Jesus? No. He begins to move through the people. Just like you and I. He'll move through you and I. He wants to flow through your hands. Hallelujah. And touch the sick. Come on now. He wants you to raise the dead. He wants you to cast out demons and devils. That's why it tells us in Mark chapter 16, verses 17, 18, these signs will accompany, follow those who are believing, expecting these things. Believing, expecting, looking for these things as they're out and about in the world. Listening as they go through Walmart. The Holy Ghost says, you need to go back down this aisle and turn right. There's a person right there that needs a touch from me today through you. You're being obedient. You're listening. You're following. I'm telling you, we're in a time that we need to know the voice of God like never before, because the devil is trying to do everything to clutter your mind, to keep you from hearing the voice of God like we need to hear it as the body of Christ. Like never before, we need to know the voice of our good shepherd. And the voice of a stranger will not follow a heed to. And we need to know that we're being led by the Spirit of God like never before. There is no time, there is no more game playing days left. This is the day. The game is here. We're in the game. We're not on the sidelines looking and watching everybody else. We're in the game, being a game player, a game changer, making the right moves so that people can get saved and born again. Remember, that's God's greatest heart. people. That's the only thing you can take to heaven with you. There are eternal rewards for you for winning the lost. Everything in this world and in this earth will burn up and become nothing. They'll mean nothing to you. You might work so hard for it to get this and get that. That will be nothing. But when you get to heaven, God will give you those eternal words, rewards for those that have laid your life down to go out and save the lost and speak to this one and pray a prayer with this one and lay hands on that one and cast the devil out of that one. And come on now, you got to see yourself doing these things. And he said the believing ones would cast out devils in his name. I'm telling you. There's some people out there that need the devil cast out of them. And think it not strange if God brings you across their path. Because number one, he knows you will do it. And number two, he knows you're available. And you said, Lord, here I am. Use me. Such a time as this. So here we go. They prayed, we see the hands, verse 13, and none of those who were not in their number dared to join and associate with them. But the people held them in high regard and praised and made much of them. So this group that was going around, God was using so mightily and so strong for the Lord, they were so bold and fierce and radical that not just anybody wanted to hook up with them. Not that group, not that church. Oh, I'll go down to this one, but not that church. They're kind of wild in there. Come on now. You might be persecuted for going to this church, but it's all about the God who you love, the God who you serve, the one you're standing up for, the one you're living for. Come on now. It's what you're doing worth to him what he's done for you. Hallelujah. We got to make it count for eternity. We got to make it count for eternity. People are leaving this earth by the groves day after day. Can't make another decision. They can't ask for a second chance. There is no more chances. But while we're here, we can make that so that they'll get that chance here. So not just anybody dared to join this group of people. They were so radical, bold, fierce, and lived lives that were holy. There was the early church in Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Acts chapter 9 and verse 31, it says the church walked in the fear of the Lord and... I like the J.B. Phillips translation. It says, and the strengthening presence of the mighty Holy Spirit. So here's the fear of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit. You combine the fear of God and the presence of the Holy Spirit, and you bring that together. The church, why were they so radical? Why were they so bold? Why were things happening? Why was revival breaking out everywhere? People being healed, delivered? Why? Because they walked in the fear of God and in the strengthening presence. They were conscious of the presence of the Holy Spirit upon them, working through them for that day and time. They were more aware of that than they were of the person sitting beside them in the seat next to them. Come on now. And they wanted this. They desired this. There was a fear in the church. Even it says in Acts chapter 17, verse 6, they were known, this radical group was known for turning the world upside down for Christ. Come on now, I'm telling you, don't you want to be known as a group of believers that are going around turning the world upside down for Jesus Christ? Can you see the day when people go to hospitals and the doctors in the hospital said, I'm sorry, sir or ma'am, we cannot do any more for you. But we know a church that can do something for you. If you get to this church, they'll raise you up.
Yes.
Come on now, we got to be thinking out of the box, because if we are positioning ourselves in this day and this time for such a time as this, we're positioning ourselves, we're knowing who we are, what we're here for, why we're here doing what we're doing. Come on now, then we can expect these things to start showing up. Because it's a reason they're showing up, or it's a reason when you're out there that they're coming across your path. I always tell Pastor Chris, I said, it's like magnet to steel, man. It's like magnet to steel. They just, you're like, man, where'd they come from? For such a time as this. And it said that, verse 14, more and more were being added to the Lord. We're in Acts chapter 5. Verse 14, more and more were being added to the Lord, those being saved. It was happening that fast, that much. More and more, more and more. Verse 15, Acts chapter 5, verse 15, Peter's shadow. He was so full of the Holy Spirit when he preached that it went out into the streets. They started bringing the sick and the demonized into the streets to get as close to Peter as his shadow. And when they got as close to Peter as his shadow, it said sicknesses and diseases left them. Demons came out of them. Just by getting as close as Peter's shadow, it broke out of the church and went into the streets. They were bringing the sick into the streets. Are y'all getting this? Oh my God. I pray this is stirring you up, because if not, it's stirring me up to get dissatisfied with being satisfied. There's a short window of time that's been allotted to us, and we have to make the most of it while we have it. Let's make it count for eternity. The children, the youth, preteens, families, these are so important to God. He loves people. Remember, that's His precious, most valuable thing on the earth, is His family that He created for Himself. Some of them just don't know they're in the family of God yet, till they get born again and saved, then they'll find out they're in a great family. Let's stand to our feet. We're starting this. Will take me now where I want to go for next week, because we're going to get on the fear of the Lord. We need to hit on the fear of the Lord. Serious days. Like Pastor Chris has said, the devil is organized, committed, and disciplined. How much more should the church, come on now, how much more should the church be organized, committed to the things of God, and disciplined? Disciplined. Every time the church doors are open, I'm going to be there, Pastor Debbie. I ain't missing out on what God might do. I'm not missing out on what He's doing. No, you don't know. Because why? Because you're sitting right in here and you think you're getting one thing, and the Spirit of God is depositing and imparting things into your spirit right here tonight. You might walk out these doors and you're like, my God, I don't know what happened, but something just got deposited in my heart. I never felt that way for the lost before. Why? He's depositing this in your heart, stirring you up so that you'll have a hunger and a desire for you to burn with His heart's desire. So you'll see people the way God sees them. You'll value people the way God values them. You'll see them through His eyes. Oh Lord, if there ever was a time, we are the ones, and the time is now. We are the ones, and the time is now. No more playing on the fence. No more lukewarmness. That time is over, folks. It's time to be hot for God. Literally fired up for God. For His purposes and His plans, you know. There's a sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit where the separation process begins in our lives, and it'll continue. As you continue to yield and give yourself, that separation continues in your life day after day after day. All for His purpose. Sanctified just means to separate unto. You're separating more and more unto God for His purposes. His purposes. You don't know the next person. You don't know. They may not be here next week. But He'll send you across their path to pray the prayer with them. Get them born again and saved. Because He loves them. So if we can be more eternity-minded, eternity-minded, what does God think? What does God say about this? What does God the Father think about this? Am I pleasing Him? Am I looking for man's approval? Am I looking for God's approval? Do I want the praise of men, or do I want the praise come from my Heavenly Father? He knows every motive and intent of our hearts, y'all. He weighs our hearts. He knows the motives of our hearts. Why we do what we do. Let it be pleasing to Him when He sees your heart that you're here 150% for Him. Surrender to Him for His plans and purposes, Lord. Let that be our prayer tonight. We are Your people, and it is the time. We are the ones, and the time is now. May this become such a reality to every person in here that has heard this word tonight. Stir these words in their hearts, Lord. Just like it did with Habakkuk when he prayed, Lord, I heard what our ancestors say about You. I've stopped in my tracks. I'm down on my knees. Do among us what You did among them. Work among us what You worked among them. Let it be according to Your will and Your word. So if you're in here tonight, I'm going to open up the altar just like I did the last time. Every time the altar will be opened up. If you've never been baptized.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.